Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello and welcome to episode number 150 of the Self-Help Podcast. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm amazed. 150.
I know.
I only look 70.
And just to kind of hark back to our first episode, we're doing it with the good old built-in microphone on this laptop, aren't we?
We are.
Because Sean forgot the main microphone.
Because I'm 150 years old, I forgot to bring the microphone.
Yeah, so apologies for the slightly poor sound quality.
No, you've just missold that, haven't you? Because you've now suggested to people that we've got poor sound quality.
Well,
as opposed to, I'm sure you'll find this episode very intriguing and interesting due to the unusual and imaginative sound quality.
Yeah, I should have said that really. But
something like that?
Something like that. I just wanted to land you in it for forgetting the microphone. But you had one job.
And I forgot it.
Yeah. Need to be quick. My wife is back any minute. And we're talking about cheating this week, aren't we? She actually will be through the door any second now, but we're not having an affair, you and I. She knows that we're meeting.
How does she know that?
What? Get out of my house! Have you heard that? Don't panic, listeners. No, we are talking about extramarital affairs, playing away from home, all that stuff, aren't we? How are you doing, Sean? What have you been up to?
I'm good.
It's been a while since we met and recorded, hasn't it?
Yeah, it feels like a long time. You've been away on holes, haven't you? Had a good time.
You could call it holiday of sorts. Yeah. I was up in the northeast in a caravan it should have been nice spring weather, but instead it was about 6 degrees in the day and down to about 2 at night. You can see your breath and
everything. It's sunny now, but there's apparently, as I was told today, that we've got a bit of Arctic weather coming our way again.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, you can see the clouds coming, or the moving from north to south where we were on the coast, so it was obviously a chilly wind from up north, but we had a great time, man. Boys had a laugh.
Good.
It's like a week in each other's pockets, and we lived to tell the tale. We all had a good time, which is a good sign, isn't it?
And you'll last forever.
Yeah, pretty much. What else? I've done some other cool stuff. Monday I went to Zip World in Bethesda, North Wales, and took myself off the side of a mountain, strapped to a wire, zip wire, like a mile long zip wire.
That's pretty cool.
Which was pretty awesome, actually. Yeah, it's cool. It was over too quick. It's not their fault. It's gravity, isn't it? And
yeah.
It's a mile long wire. I was probably up to about 70, 80 miles an hour.
Wow.
Over this beautiful kind of man-made lake.
Were you lying flat on it?
They strap. You have this special harness, and then they clip you in at the back, so you're lying there like Superman. and then they say 3, 2, 1, off you go, and away you go. It's amazing.
Yeah,
good setup there. So I'd highly recommend it. In terms of price per second, it was probably about like £1 a second for the experience. It's one of those things you've got to do. These things in life, haven't you?
Yeah, you hate it.
Raised a bit of money for the World Sight of the Blind, partially sighted as well.
Yeah,
cool.
Which is good.
Have you done anything that exciting?
Yes, I've had the studio attic is all boarded and it's half plastered.
Goodness me.
It's getting dangerously close to actually.
The studio is half plastered, or you're half plastered?
Yeah, no, I'm always plastered, but the studio is now half plastered.
Oh, she's here. She's back from Zumba. Are you right, B?
Hello, B. You're going to come say hello to everybody.
Oh, hello.
Yes, she is. Has she been on the show before, my wife?
No, I think that's a first.
It could be, you know. Yeah. I know we had that one where she was in the background with Ree and we had like a party.
That's true.
They were chit-chatting away and giggling. But we're talking about affairs this week, B.
I've just had one.
Can you? Zumba, my eye.
Zumba.
Yeah, after Zumba again, are you?
Is he a nice chap, Zumba? Is he?
Hey ho. Yeah, upstairs. I don't need to hear what's going on. Just kidding. So your loft is coming on nicely, eh?
Very good.
Your attic.
The studio. Yeah. I would be a creative genius in a couple of weeks.
That's what's been holding you back.
Yeah.
The loft.
Yeah, I'm suddenly going to break out.
All right, cool. Oh, there's one other thing I must mention. I walked into a glass door yesterday.
Yes.
And only one person saw it. Oh, man, it really hurt.
Well, you didn't see it, obviously.
I scratched my it's not my usual exit from the office, and I saw a car.
Going through a glass window is not...
I was waving to a guy. I was going to go and have a chat with him, and I thought I was aimed squarely for the centre of the door, which was open. But just misjudged it a little, and doosh, this huge crunching noise. I acted pretty cool, like he saw it. I was chuckling, but we don't know each other well enough, so he was rolling around on the floor laughing.
So, and the crack in your glasses, can you see through?
Yeah, I can't see it when they're on. It's but I'm gonna have to get that buffed out or get some new lenses. Sheesh. But yeah, I thought, you know, only one person saw it, but I thought I'd tell the world what actually happened. Anyway. Livingthepresent.co.uk. If there are any new listeners that have actually made it this far into this week's episode, that's the website you need to go check out for all the show notes and links. There'll be a blog post to accompany this, which Sean needs to write in the next couple of hours, because this is going out tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I'll go home and get plastered.
Go in your attic. Yeah. Make sure you don't fall through the floor. And you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. And if there's anything you'd like us to talk about on this show, just send us an email, hello@livingthepresent.co.uk, and we'll put it in. But yeah, in 150 episodes time, imagine what else we will have talked about. Can you imagine? Episode 300.
Wow.
Yeah, first things first. But anyway, this week we are talking about cheating, affairs, extramarital stuff, because a listener emailed in asking us to do a podcast on cheating, asking why men cheat, why women cheat, whether there's the kind of a similar kind of ratio, if it's always a bad thing. There's lots of issues that we can discuss. Interestingly, the listener, who of course I will not name, was honest enough to say that he has cheated in the past. And at the time, actually, he said he didn't feel too bad about it, which is interesting. But yeah, I know. Sean, where should we start with this one? Because you do a lot of couples therapy, so
do
you get involved at the point where people have already crossed that bridge and they're trying to patch things up again, I guess?
Quite a bit of the work is that. Some of the work is that people have had enough and are on their way out of the relationship. So what might appear to be an affair isn't really an affair in that sense.
Yeah.
Let's start off with some mad statistics, because
are these real stats or Sean's made up stats?
No, this is poker. This is the business. What it shows, the stats, and I've actually put a reference to it and stuff here.
Cool.
Is that 63% of men and men's unfaithful behaviour is supposed to be down to their genes, and 40% in women is down to their genes. And we're talking about a genetic propensity towards something, which is a place to start in genetic behaviour.
Yep.
But it's also quite dangerous, because it's easy to say, oh, I adjusted that because of my genes.
Yeah,
I can't help that.
It's just, I'm a fella. Yeah.
And the important thing to realise is that genes are a starting point. They're not the end of the story. You come into life with this genetic baggage. It's up to you what you do with it.
Yep.
Yeah. If you look at the statistics, and it will vary a bit wherever you go, but it looks like something like 61% of women between the age of 18 and 65 admit to having affairs or having had an affair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Either they are or they have. And it has to come down to, if they're not bonging the same bloke, then 61% of people are involved in affairs. And the only difference then is, what's the difference between men and women? Why would women have an affair? Why would men have an affair? What's in it for them?
Yeah.
And that's the bit that seems to be a bit different.
I was reading up on that kind of thing as well, and the differing reasons for why men and women have affairs. For men, it seems to be, we're talking in general terms here, it's a bit more kind of the physical side of things. Whereas for women, it's for more emotional reasons. Always, but generally.
People, both men and women, will say to me that the reason they had an affair wasn't the sex. The sex was something that was involved in it, but the thing that they wanted was the attention. And the thing they were missing was the attention, that feeling that they were in some way special or that someone desired them, not just physically, but as a person.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest one. When you look at, when you start to get into the dreaded brain chemistry and the body chemistry, the testosterone issues about, we assume that men are more generous with their genes because they want to spread them. And that there are books around like The Selfish Gene and things like that to talk about. It's all the concepts around the drive that we have to propagate and to go out. I mean, why I should want to have lots of little Sean's running around, God alone knows. But the idea that somewhere inside me and you is this innate desire to reproduce.
Yep.
And to reduce with as many people as possible in our reproductive life.
Yeah. Well, you turn on your National Geographic and your average kind of nature documentary and you'll see, I don't know, a female, whatever, animal, just kind of surrounded by a load of males, all fighting for the attention. So obviously there is something in the in our...
The testosterone bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you think about rutting stags, you know, that one stag ends up with the sexual rights to a whole gang of women, like sort of harem of women, and then the others, the other males that are around, either have to fight to replace him, or they pick off the odd woman here and there without him realizing.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of... Yeah, there's a list on this Psychology Today blog post, which I'll link to in the show notes, which lists quite simply eight reasons why people do cheat.
Take me through them. What you got?
Shall I go through? So, number one, lack of sexual satisfaction in your primary relationship. Okay.
Yeah.
Two, desire for additional sexual encounters. So that's just kind of just wanting something a bit different.
I think that the first one is to do with if we don't pay enough attention to each other and we don't do the tuning in, the wooing bit, and you can still woo your partner when you've been married for 30, 40 years if you're tuned in. And arousal comes from the tuning in. So that kind of sexuality comes from that.
Okay.
Yeah. The second one, I've worked with so many couples who have maybe got together when they were in their teenage and they're now in their 50s, and they're wondering what it would be like to have sex with someone else because they've never done it.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's a real issue. The other kind of things are where people just have that desire to have more than one experience.
Yep.
In the news at the moment, there is a person that we're not supposed to know, although everybody does.
Right, yeah, I was away when all this happened. Came back, I saw the odd little thing. I had no internet either for a week, which was nice. But
who was in threesomes?
Can we get in trouble for saying is that? Is
yeah,
that
you're not allowed to under the law in Britain. If we were in Scotland, we could.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interested. Yeah.
So we could just drive up to Scotland and then say it and come back again.
We're recording this in Scotland, right?
Yeah. Okay, Jimmy.
You can't prove anything. Yeah. Okay.
But that idea of what is normal sexuality, and one of the things that you learn when you do what I do is that normal is what someone does. So someone will say to me, you know, when there's three of you in the bed, that kind of thing.
Right.
Because for them, that's the normal.
Okay, well, what happens when, let's say you've got... There's a lack of sexual satisfaction in your primary relationship, and rather than seeking something elsewhere, you try and spice things up in that initial primary relationship. But it's until it reaches a point where you're not happy, or the other person is unhappy because of that. I don't know. What do you do then?
Lots of people will say that they don't want having an affair is because they don't want their primary relationship to end. That they do love their partner. And maybe they've got kids, and maybe they've got pensions and houses and mortgages and stuff like that.
Sure.
And they want to maintain all this, but they want a bit of woo on the side. They want something to make them go woo.
Mm.
And they're not getting that where they are.
Yep.
One of the things that I've come to the conclusion is I'm not sure that right and wrong exists. It's like when you're in consenting adults, and if people agree to things, then... I guess that's what people do. You know, it's easy to stand outside of a situation and say people all should or must.
Yep.
But if people are driven to do that, I suppose the issue is why.
Mm.
You know, so that if you are having an affair, or you're into affairs, or your partner's into affairs, the question has to be the why question. What's going on here?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Number three was lack of emotional satisfaction in your primary relationship, which we kind of said earlier on is generally...
It's more of a female thing.
More of a female thing, but it won't always be, right?
Not always. No, but
far from it.
It's to do with oxytocin and vasopressin, which are two hormones in the brain. And they come about primarily through companionable contact, I suppose would be the phrase.
Yep.
So oxytocin is released by cuddling, kissing, breastfeeding, by sex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But oxytocin is a bonding chemical. And very often, if two people come together and have some kind of affair, and if the woman is drawn in and has a burst of oxytocin, she's then going to feel that level of connection to the man. If the man's there for testosterone,
yep,
reasons, then he's not going to make those oxytocin connections.
Mm.
So there are groups of men, I've met quite a few, who have the three rule. You can bonk a woman three times and then you have to move on, because if you bonk them more than three times, they start to get, they don't think of it in terms of oxytocin, what they think of is they start to get attached.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So men that are floundering very often have the three encounter rule.
The rule of three, eh?
Yeah, before they move on.
And then onwards. Well, yeah. I guess it could be, yeah, a lot of relationships will go a lot further than that and then break down way down the line, won't they? So,
yeah.
Mm.
I think one of the things to be realistic about as human beings is that all of us find other people attractive. That's why we have kind of film stars and rock stars and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you walk down the road, you're going to see people who you find attractive. They've got a nice bum or nice breasts or
yeah,
whatever.
Keep talking, know. Yeah.
the issue, I guess, is what do you do? What do you do with it? You can't bonk everybody on the planet, but maybe you can just enjoy the fact that people are nice. It's like, you know, going around an art gallery, you enjoy pictures.
Yeah, oh,
you
look
know
at that, isn't that,
yeah,
shapely? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's nice to see nice-looking people, isn't it? Yeah, and when people dress nicely and show their assets off to best advantage, they look good. And if they look good, they feel good, they communicate well, and so the mood is up for everybody.
Okay.
And I think that also in society, whether we're talking about business or any kind of office area, there's always a flirtatious issue.
Mm.
And that's the kind of lubrication that oils the wheels of commerce.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that kind of, sometimes it's a bit saucy banter, sometimes it's just a bit of fun, sometimes it's inappropriate, and then gets called abuse.
You know, I got you. Well, I mean, yeah, a lot of extramarital affairs will start in the workplace, won't they?
Or in the gym.
Yeah, okay.
Gym.
Gyms are good for that.
Yeah.
But I want to stay on workplace, because, you know, I work pretty much alone, which is, you know... So
it's hard to have an affair when you're working alone.
Yeah. Well, I'm in love with myself. But yeah, no, I remember it was... I haven't worked with the guys for ages, but it was a company I worked for ages ago, and someone gave me the inside track of this small, medium-sized company.
Mm-hmm.
And the stories of who was doing what with who within this company, it was just amazing.
Yeah.
And quite often I hear of, yeah, people shacking up with people from their office, because quite often... When you're working with someone, you're spending more time with that person than your spouse, aren't you?
Yeah.
8 hours a day.
And very often the pressures are different, aren't they? If you're in a fulfilling role where you're achieving tasks with a colleague, as opposed to going home tired, you've got maybe a bunch of kids and maybe there's pressure on the mortgage and everything else and like stress, stress, stress.
You've got an attic to finish.
An attic to finish, yes. A bathroom being done.
Yeah.
So by the time you get to work, it's like a relief.
Yeah, okay.
So you associate the people there as a relief.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Where are we on the list? Wanting emotional validation from someone else. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and that's a kind of, could be a confidence issue. Then it's like, am I worth the skin I stand up in?
Yeah.
You know, maybe your partner's got to the point where they're ignoring.
Will that often lead to affairs where it will kind of fizzle out quick? It's just kind of you.
I don't think there's rules like that, because people blunder into affairs, and some are a total disaster and last 5 seconds, and others end up in people splitting up. It depends on how people connect and how that sense of what you feed grows, what you starve dies.
Mm.
When you start wooing somebody, or you start allowing yourself to be wooed, you're creating that focus of attention, so it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I guess with any relationship, you don't know how you're going to feel about someone 5, 10, 20 years down the line, do you? For all the great feelings you may have for the first 6 months, the first few years, no one's got a crystal ball, have they?
No. There's a bit of a quote here from a book, The Evolution of Human Behaviour,
mm-hmm.
Which we can put the link up for. But this relates to that kind of area. Stay-at-home dads and other men who are completely dependent on their wives' income are a whopping 5 times more likely to cheat than men who contribute an equal amount and to the shared kitty. Which is, that to me, that's about how that man isn't getting what he needs in terms of recognition for who he is. Therefore, he finds it somewhere else.
Right.
I guess you could say that if you've got a stay-at-home dad, he's got more opportunity to go to the school gates and meet all the mums. And
oh, yeah, OK.
So there's that area as well.
I was just trying to think, yeah, because, well, I'm not a stay-at-home dad, but I was at home today with my lad, and I didn't have much opportunity to get out there. I wasn't going to any nightclubs with him or anything like that. Although, yeah, I did drop him off at school. Yeah, and it's well, I think there's maybe 2 or 3 dads that kind of do the school drop, preschool drop-off.
Yeah,
the rest are all mums. I won't comment on the kind of
attractiveness.
I won't go through all the score. I won't score them all out of 10. Yeah.
It says at the other end of that scale of male behaviour is, at the same time, men earning significantly more than their partners are also more likely to stray from the marriage bed.
Mm. Do you think that's partly kind of a power thing, in the sense that they can get away with it, really?
Yeah.
Even if they get caught, it's like, well, come on, what are you going to do about it, love?
Yeah. Yeah, I love it when you see people like our friend Donald Trump, who has some pretty kind of psychotic behaviours, in the sense that he doesn't have the insight into what he says, but he has a huge assumption that people would do what he wants, and it makes me wonder how someone like that has been with the women that he's worked with and what he's expected of them.
I think there's quite a bit that isn't allowed to be talked about on that front,
because
there's a lot of gagging orders going on.
Yeah.
He's paid people off so that they won't talk.
Okay.
But from the stuff I have read about him, there's been a lot said about his relationship with women and how he's talked to, like, there's that Fox News presenter that he kind of offended quite badly. I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
He obviously hasn't got a great...
But that power thing goes back to the rutting stag.
Mm.
You know, if I am the powerful man around here, then I deserve the rights of the powerful man.
I mean, to get Donald on the show, we'd have him we'd have him weeping like a baby in minutes. What's it all about, Donald? Why?
Well, I think it'd have me weeping like a baby. Oh, my God. Get rid of him.
Right, let's just go through this list. We've got more to go. Falling out of love with your partner. Okay, yeah, it can happen. It's... there are reasons why.
I think that sometimes people grow differently.
Yeah, well, that's the stuff we do on the show, really. We encourage people to grow and change, don't we? And
well, I was running a course I call a self-discovery course, 50 weeks, 3 hours one night for 50 weeks.
Mm.
And when I was running them in the West Country, I became known as that bastard who splits people up. And in the end, I had to put a warning on the leaflet, which is that if you come on this program, it will change you. And if you're in a relationship that you want to maintain and nourish, bring your partner with you so that you do it together.
Right.
Yeah, because at the end of those 50 weeks where you've done so much work on yourself, you can be so vastly different that the relationship you're in can start to lack validity.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. No, I remember you telling me that. I mean, number seven here, wanting to seek revenge. How often do you see that?
Yeah.
It's like, cat up yours.
Yeah.
But, I've still got it, baby.
But that can either be someone said, you're a useless, who'd fancy you kind of thing. Yeah. And so people go off and go, I'll find someone.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do.
Get on Tinder. Yeah, yeah, they'll do. See you later, love.
Yeah. You said that too kind of well.
Yeah, I know that I have Tinder on my phone. Jeez. I actually haven't. I'd like to have a go on Tinder. Just, I mean, I'm interested in technology and I kind of want to know how it works and like the mechanics of it.
This is just pure research.
But yeah, someone who saw me on it, what the hell? We'll come on to that in a sec, though. But yeah, revenge.
But yeah, the other thing is someone, your partner's had an affair with someone, so you go and have an affair with someone to get even.
Get even, yeah. An eye for an eye, eh?
Yeah.
Mm. All right. And the last one, number eight, you're curious and want new experiences.
Well, that's the one I was talking about. I do see that with people that have never been with anyone else.
Yeah.
And wonder. Because one of the things we also need to go back to, which we have spoke about in previous episodes, is the amount of over 60s that are having affairs and splitting up. I mean, we have the highest level of sexual transmitted diseases in the over 60s at the moment.
Bang.
And it's because people are becoming sexually active. And from my understanding of what I see and what I've read, is that it's driven by the women who are having enough of the fella that they're with, and they're going out and spreading their wings or whatever. And but they're not using contraception because they don't think they need it.
Oh, right, because they're not going to get over the hill and all that stuff.
Yeah, and then they end up spreading disease. Yeah,
gee, those over 60s, man, makes you sick. I want to talk quickly about digital world that we live in and how easy it is now. There was a recent scandal for the website Ashley Madison, I don't know if you remember.
No.
Which is one of these sites where you can basically, it's for married people to put a profile on and find person to hook up with.
Illicit relationships kind of thing.
Yeah, and they had a security breach and all the email addresses and names of the people on it were exposed. Which is like, oops. I was all right, don't worry.
I didn't get your details.
But yeah, no, I've mentioned Tinder as well, where these kind of apps and bits of technology that make it easier than ever to hook up. And I guess not just that, but also I guess things like Facebook, where you're constantly seeing other people and what they're up to. And that, as we've spoke about on Facebook and online, people only ever show their best side. And I'm sorting literally the best photo of themselves. Say, she's looking lovely and all that stuff.
I wonder what happens, though, when you hook up with somebody because you can see them online, and when you actually meet them in the flesh, oh my gosh,
I mean, you see that with the therapy you're doing now, the kind of digital world being more and more of an impact. I guess pornography as well is kind of a huge one.
Right down to the telly deal darling stuff that we
because that's about. I mean, it's not just about seeing other people out there, it's also porn for like young guys now, it's kind of seen as the norm in terms of what a girl is expected to do in the bedroom, which not all girls are up for, I'm assuming.
There's a lot of energy being put into the issues around sexual bullying in children, with teenagers. School. Yeah.
Right.
You'll hear a lot about that in the press over the next few weeks. Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, the listener that emailed in asked the question whether cheating can ever be good, or whether you can learn to be faithful. Like, I guess, is it the case that cheating can be good in terms of breaking up a relationship, the initial one, because it wasn't meant to be in the first place?
One of the common ways of doing it is that two people aren't getting on, and one decides they want to end it, but they haven't got the emotional strength to do it on their own. So they end up having a relationship with another person that I always think of as the tire lever. It's the person that helps them lever themselves out of the first relationship.
Right.
Yeah. But that second relationship usually doesn't last. Its purpose is to give the person enough self-esteem and strength and support to break away from the first relationship. but the second relationship lasts a year or something, and then it's gone.
Right.
Because it wasn't there for that reason.
Mm.
And I suppose you could say that if you have that concept that that was the positive use of an affair to achieve what you needed, you could say that. I think that the issues of right, wrong, good, bad are how we view it, isn't it? Because the person who has had an affair that has led to fulfilment for them is going to see that as a good thing. And the person maybe who was damaged by that affair, maybe the partner of both or one of those people,
yeah,
is then going to see that as negative. Well, one of the other things that I get quite a lot is a couple come together because they met at work or something. So they met and had an affair and then got together, right? And then both of them have a level of distrust about each other because there's that feeling, well, if we could have done it to our partners, then you could do it to me again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. And I see that quite a lot.
Ah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, constantly so, kind of looking...
Yeah, so it makes it harder to have
checking it, phone, the second texts one. Yeah, yeah. And all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and living with that level of anxiety that if you could have done that to your partner with me, or you could do it to me with someone else, couldn't you? Mm.
I guess also, yeah, if you're getting with someone you work with, like, as a result of cheating on your partner, that kind of initial bit where you're going to work for the kind of, a break, oh, I'm going to go see Jackie from accounts... Oh, she's lovely.
How do you?
But then all of a sudden you're with Jackie from accounts all the time and you're going home.
24 hours a day.
Oh my God, Jackie.
Yeah, I need to go and have an affair with my ex-wife.
Yeah, I miss, yeah, what, yeah. Penelope. Why Penelope? I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you got a resource?
I'm going for the button here. It's a Cosmo. Book, Cosmopolitan, and it's a brief course in condoms. It's like an article, yeah? Because if you're going to do it, and only you can decide whether it's right or not to do it, but if you're going to do it, make sure you're protected when you do it, because not only are you protecting yourself, but you might be protecting your actual partner, and other people.
All right, course, yeah. Is this an online course?
Yeah, if you just click on that. Follow along. On this thing, it goes to, it's like an article-y, course-y thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, I'll take a look at that. My resources ever isn't really related to the show, the episode. It's just something I feel like I've got to say. I've been reading The Martian.
Which oh, right, the movie. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
The Man Who Lives on Potatoes.
Yeah. And which came out as a movie last year with, what's his name? Man.
Him,
you know, that fella.
Yeah. Arms and legs.
Yeah, that's it, two eyes. Yeah. Jeez. It's amazing, the book. I'd heard for ages that the book was like a proper page-turner, and I'd had it upstairs. Loved the movie, but yeah, I'm like two-thirds of the way through. It's incredible.
Is the book better than the film?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to watch the film again.
Yeah.
Because the film's snappy. It's like an hour and a half, you know, so it has to be snappy. But there's loads more in the book. It's just, he's so resourceful. It's obviously a work of fiction, but it's the science behind it is pretty strong, I think.
Yeah.
It's just the idea of this guy kind of constantly... I like the way he's got a good sense of humour as well. He's trapped alone on a planet, but he's pretty chilled out about it. And
yeah.
Laughing about it. And
yeah.
He's like, you know, I won't give it away.
But also how he gets off the planet as well. I mean, like, it's amazing, the whole thing.
Yeah, so just get the book and just... I guarantee within the first few pages you'll be in.
You're locked.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So yeah, all right. Next week we are talking about the internet and whether it's making us dumber, like stupider. Duh. There's quite a lot of research about this stuff, centered around things like why have this a memory full of things when you can just go to Google. Just to, you know, why would we actually need to know things when it's at our fingertips. Things like that, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
It was your idea, this one, Sean, I think.
Yeah, it comes from a little bit of research that I've got here, which we will have a look at.
Mm-hmm. Cool, all right. So that is next week. In the meantime, visit the website livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links, all previous episodes as well, lots of other good stuff. If you could share this show with a pal or put it online on your Facebook or Twitter profile, that would be magnificent. Don't forget to follow us online, our Instagram feed, our Facebook and our Twitter page as well, worth a look. Although I haven't been doing Twitter for a while, a bit naughty. I I'll try and up my game a little bit.
Yeah, I think you should.
I think I must. And in the meantime, take it easy, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, and everyone be happy.
Thanks, Sean. See ya. Bye.